Good to see everybody this morning. We have quite a number that are out today for various reasons, but good to see each one of y'all here. Good to have our visitors here as well. It's been nice to have Wenda and Lade Littlefield. I think they usually go by Wade and Linda, though. But y'all, if y'all haven't met them, meet them. I meet them every week. And I tell Linda every week, oh, I'll remember your name because it's the same name as my mom. And then the next week I say, no, what was your name again? So, but Wade and Linda are their names, and I think that I'll even remember that next week. Great to have y'all here. It's been good to have each one of y'all here that are so faithful in your attendance. We have been looking at a series this last few weeks, and for the next 2 weeks, we'll continue to do that on fear. I mentioned that I've been asked to do a meeting on this topic, or it was a topic that we decided this is what we would end up doing it on, and I wanted to not only present it, but also to kind of get some feedback from y'all as far as what might be useful in this. So y'all are kind of guinea pigs on this, and yet from a scriptural standpoint, the verses that you read and that we will look at certainly are without question what we need to know to get through any time, but especially during the difficult times. And I think that most of y'all would agree, this is an unusually difficult time. Now, I say that, I haven't noticed a big difference. I try not to leave happy unless I'm going to a hospital or a nursing facility, and they won't let me do that anymore. And so it's been a little bit difficult from that perspective. I got to visit with Darlene, I guess it was a week ago, yesterday, and we got to visit over the phone and had a prayer over the phone, as a matter of fact, which is an unusual way to help a friend, but at the same time, that was what we had, and I really enjoyed getting to visit with her. Like you, I was sure sorry that things worked out like they did, and yet, with her faithfulness, I believe that we have a confidence that she's in a much better place, not only from a physical standpoint, but this year from an emotional standpoint. We're going through a lot. We have everything from the elections, and people really don't seem to get along well. Y'all may not have noticed that, but I've kind of picked up a subtle idea on that a time or two. We've had this virus that's going around that is really serious, or it's not really serious, or it's somewhere in between, but we must fear one way or another. We've got riots that are going on that we must fear, and it's just one thing after another. And I believe that if we're not careful, we'll allow these things to cause us to lose focus for why we're here. They need to be dealt with, and they need to be dealt with in the right way as best we can. It really, when we look at this, This, as much as anything, is going to be a lesson on courage, but we also want to make sure that we have a proper amount of caution involved with that courage, and we also need to make sure that we do our best, but then mind our own business. Because it's really easy for us to look at somebody else that's doing something that we're not doing, and we're just thinking that they're not doing it the right way, that they're being silly. You don't have that right. People's caution is going to cause them to do different things in different circumstances. You will bear the consequences of how you react to physical things. There's no question. I'm convinced after listening to some of the people who are involved with things like our food supply and other things. I'm not talking about the fear mongers. I'm talking about the people who do this, that there may be some reason for caution in some other areas. And I'm taking some precautions that you might look at and think, well, that's just foolish. And that's fine. Each one of us will do the best we can with the information that we have and with the physical condition that we have. I talked to a couple who really, from a physical situation, it's not wise for them to get out around people, even if this was just a regular flu season, because they have to be careful with things like that. Their caution is different than other people's caution will be. And so as we go through this lesson, and again, I want to say it's going to need to be a lesson of courage and of caution. Don't be too quick to judge other people because they react to it differently than you. But having said that, don't let people lead you around and make you do things that your caution or your courage would indicate as far as your duty to God and to Christ would disagree with. Don't let people get you out of the type of service that you need to be doing. Each one will answer before God, and so do your best before God. I've always loved that about God. Yes, that's His requirement. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. If you're doing that, you're going to make some mistakes from time to time. That's just life. That's just human. But if you're doing your best, at least you've made your mistakes doing your best. And again, if we can do that, we can bear with one another in love. If we can have a respect for each other, even though we might be reacting differently, I think then we're going to be able to get about the business of seeking and saving the lost. But if we get distracted by the physical things in life, I think we're going to fail, and we're going to fail in some pretty serious ways, in ways that may keep us apart from God and may separate others from Christ because of our influence upon them. And so lots to think about, isn't it? The last 2 weeks we've looked about the problem and the consequences of fear. We talked about the fear of men and how from a biblical perspective that is a trap, that it's a snare, that we need to be very careful about this idea of fearing people, especially when it comes to fearing wicked men. We talked about the fact that wicked men have within their power sometimes, if they're in positions of power, the ability to deceive us, to foment fear even more. And we see that no matter what position you take, you see it on both sides, do you not? And so that's a tremendous problem, is this power that some people wield and misuse with lies and with deceptions. One of the most serious problems that we looked at was the lack of love. John indicated there's no fear in love, that perfect love drives out fear. And so when we're controlled by fear, we have to admit it's because we don't love each other and God as well as we should. Again, we may have certain things that we're cautious over, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about being frozen into an immobility where we no longer serve God in the right way. Another one of the problems that we see, and it's quite common, is this fear that some people have of losing the esteem of those that they respect. Jesus talked about that, or John talked about that during Jesus' ministry, when it talked about many, even among the leaders, believed in Christ, but because of their fear of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess their faith. And so this is one of the great problems of fear, is when it keeps us, prevents us from following Christ in the right way. And certainly one of the worst is this fear of physical penalty over spiritual penalty. Remember that what the passage we looked at in Luke, where Jesus said, "Don't fear the one who can just kill the body and after that do nothing more. You fear the one who can kill the body and after killing the body can put you into hell," talking about God. God is the one we fear. And of course, this goes back to the theme of this lesson. If you fear God, you do not have to fear anything else. That doesn't mean you don't take precautions or that you don't do certain things because of your fear of God. But if you fear God, you don't have to fear anybody or anything else. If you do not have a proper fear of God, the respect for God, the love for God, the awareness of His holiness, and that terror that resides for those who refuse to obey Him, then if you will have if you don't have that fear, then it's just going to make everything else more difficult for you in life. And so these are some of the things that we have looked at. Last week we started looking at the solution, and again I want to go to Proverbs chapter 1 as we talk about that. Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 24 through 32, we looked at all the problems that are associated with those who do not choose to fear the Lord. And they included trouble and distress and disaster and calamity and death and destruction. For those who do not fear the Lord, that's what you have to look forward to. We'll just sum it up with death and destruction, but all the things that happen along the way. And we see a lot of miserable people right now because they fail to do that. But verse 33 of Proverbs chapter 1 gives the solution. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. This is one of the beauties of following God. It was true back during this time when they were under the law of Moses, or those who were Gentiles who were under the patriarchal laws, or whether we're talking about for us today being under Christ and under Christ's laws. If we will listen to God and if we will fear God, we don't have to fear any other harm. So this is one of the main solutions, is to listen to God. Psalms chapter 56, David said, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" I've always admired people who have that understanding. If you trust in God, there may be things you have to go through that you don't enjoy. I watched my mom suffer a lot the last few years with various physical ailments, and she did not enjoy those physical ailments, but she had a hope of heaven. She had a hope of an eternity with God, and so that made her days of suffering so much easier. I think about Darlene and all the things that Darlene went through in life. Darlene probably lost more close family members at an untimely time than just about anybody that I knew, from her son to her grandson and even her husband. And yet Darlene was always faithful. One of the things I really appreciated about Darlene was when she started coming out and worshiping with us, it wasn't but a few weeks after that she came up and she said, "I want to join your church. How do I join your church?" And I said, the Church of Christ obviously is Christ's church, but there's not a joining per se of that. We're told in the scripture that when you've heard the word and have believed it, when you've confessed your belief, called on the name of the Lord, Jesus is Lord, He's the Son of God, when you've repented of your sins, and when you're baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, God adds you to the church. So there's not a joining there. And so I said, "That's the main thing. Have you done those things?" And she said, "Well, I've done those things, except I am not confident about my baptism. I'm not sure I was baptized for the right reasons or was old enough to know what I was doing." And so she took care of that. I don't know how old she was at the time. I would guess somewhere around 75 or so. But wasn't that a beautiful thing, to not be sure and so to take care of it? Instead of living in fear, she took care of it. And so as she approached death and visiting with her last week, she was kind of thinking that this probably was it. She had a confidence. Isn't that a great thing, to have taken care of the thing that most people are the most afraid of? If you are in a right position before God, then the only thing you really have to look forward to is being with Him forever. Of course, there's the fear of unknown, of going through the process of death. No, none of us want to go through that. And again, there's the fear of not knowing what's on the other side. But we know who's on the other side, and that takes away our fear. But again, David's comment in Psalms 56:11, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid." This is one of the greatest solutions that we have, is trusting in God. One of the things that I believe is really important about understanding this lack of fear that God wants us to have for the physical things and for people is that this courage is not necessarily a lack of any kind of distress. There's a man by the name of Ambrose Redmond who said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear." I really like that. It kind of hits the nail on the head, doesn't it? I can tell you, if I walked out of the building this morning and there were three motorcycle guys, you know, with guns on their hips and knives in their belt and chains in their hands, and they were leaning on my pickup when I walked out, I probably wouldn't walk up to them and say, "You guys get out of here. You have no business here." And even if they yelled something that wasn't sport or something along the encouraging lines at me, I probably would just keep on going. But I can tell you, if those three same people gave Carolyn a problem or my grandchildren a problem, I'd go after them. I would probably still die, don't get me wrong. But the fear of, "Well, I'm going to leave them alone," would no longer be there. So courage is not the, and you men understand that, and you mamas understand that too. I have an idea that if a bear got between you and your child, that bear wouldn't have much of a chance. But you understand that. Courage is not necessarily the absence of fear. It's the judgment that there is something more important than fear. This is what Noah had. In Hebrews chapter 11, as we read about all the men and women of faith, God has the writer of Hebrews point out what Noah did. In verse 7, he said, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." As you read the account of Noah, it appears that he had about 120 years from the first warning to build this ark. He didn't even have his children at that point. He didn't have his children until after he was 500 years old, which seems pretty old to us right now, but time does have a way of flying, and that was just the way God had planned it for him. But he had his children sometime about 100 years before the flood. But he built that ark in holy fear. Why? To save his family. Now, the spiritual element of this, it should not be lost on us, because that was the most important part for Noah, who was a righteous man, and I'm sure for Noah's wife as well. We don't read a lot about her, but she certainly appears to have supported everything he did. We don't read anything to the contrary. The spiritual element was the main thing. He was going to be obedient to God, and he was going to involve his family with that. But he was also building this ark to save his family from a physical death. Your courage will cause you to do certain things that are a benefit from a physical position for your family. But you cannot ever lose sight of the spiritual, because the moment you lose sight of the spiritual, the physical becomes more important. We looked at a comment last week by I think it's Marcus Aurelius, who said it's not death people should fear, it's ceasing to live that people should fear. And I think that's right. I think there are too many people who have been made so afraid of death who do not have their focus on the spiritual that they are frozen right now and they're not making good decisions. I think there are a lot of people who absolutely realize the most important thing is their spiritual situation before God. And they also have physical concerns about the physical things that are going on. That's important. We take care of both. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. But if you can't, take care of the spiritual. If you can, take care of the spiritual and the physical. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it points out, I believe, one of the most important parts of courage. 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." I'm convinced that the reason that so many people are afraid of something happening to them is because they're not confident of their relationship with God, of where they stand before God. That's why I brought that up about Darlene. I think that's so important. If you're not sure, make sure. You can make sure. The beauty of God is His part is sealed. It will not change. He's got an agreement. If you will do this, I will do this. But if you don't, I'll do this instead. So that's the beauty. You can take salvation. You can take His deal of salvation, His covenant of salvation, or you can take His covenant of eternal death. It's just up to you. But for those who accept His terms for eternal life, once you've taken care of that part, then the worry about physical death really goes way, way down. You're still worried about it, of course, or concerned about it, of course. Nobody wants to go home anytime early. But if you're not afraid of dying because you trust in God and you know that you didn't earn your way to heaven, but you've done the part that God told you is your part of the covenant, well, that makes everything easier. But if you don't love God enough to obey His commandments, you can forget about the rest and you can just live in fear. There's one other thing that I think is really important, and it was a lady by the name of Marie Curie that brought it up. And most of those my age did a little studying of Madame Curie in school. I don't know if y'all studied her or not. Marie Curie was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize. As a matter of fact, she won two of them. She was an incredibly astute woman. And she said this about fear. Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we can fear less. I like that. Nothing in life is to be feared. Talking about the physical. You just don't have to worry about all these things. Concern and worry are two different things. Do you have to be concerned? Yes, you do. But you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about dying. You're planning on going to heaven anyway. Not because you are so good, but because God is so faithful. But once you seek to understand things, then the fear element goes out of it. Well, I was listening to a doctor from Johns Hopkins yesterday or the day before, and he was talking about this disease, and they were talking about the president and his wife. He said, if they do nothing, they have a 99% chance of survival of this disease without any treatments. And they said, and the younger girl, the one that was his press secretary, if she does nothing, she has a 99.9% chance of survival. Well, that puts me at a little comfort. I don't know if it does you any or not. This was not some guy in a tinfoil hat getting his messages from Mars. This was a doctor from Johns Hopkins. And he said, these are the statistics right now. That puts me at ease, but I understand it a little bit more now. Before, I didn't understand it as well. But as I understand more and more, I'm less and less afraid about these things. From a spiritual perspective, while hell is a very scary thing and is meant to be, the more you understand that God does not want you to be in hell, that He has made every provision for you not to go there. He has lavished His grace upon you and given you chance after chance after chance to repent. He sent Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross, as Zach mentioned in his prayer this morning, as the perfect sacrifice for your sins. And so all you have to do is your part. And if you will do that, then not only will you not go to hell that was created for the devil and the evil followers of him, but you'll go to heaven and you'll be there forever. And I can assure you it's much better than the place we live in now. And once you understand that, you don't have to fear these things that everybody else fears. Do you have to be cautious? Of course. Do you have to have concern? You better. Do you have to take the right precautions? Yes. But when you and I understand what it is that God has for us in this life, we will take the proper precautions and we will do the right things. And then we can walk through life without the fear and the terror that so many walk through life with, and we can look forward to heaven. Lots of challenges. I suspect we're about to go through more challenges in the next few months than we've been through for the entirety of the rest of our life. Hope I'm wrong. But it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. Doesn't matter. I'm still looking forward to going to heaven. I'm planning on going to heaven. Are you not? The invitation's open. If you're not a Christian yet, you're planning on going to hell. I don't mean if you're not old enough yet to have made that decision. I mean if you're old enough and you've just decided not yet, and you know what it takes, and you're at an age that you need to, you're making the wrong plans. And I would encourage you to reassess your plans. If you are a Christian and you haven't been living right, then stop it and start living right. Repent. You can take care of that yourself. But if you'd like the prayers of the congregation on your behalf, we'd be honored to do that as well. If you have any needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?